Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Season Countdown, an in-depth look at all 34 of the region's local football clubs. Here's your host, Tom King.
Doesn't really matter where this gentleman goes, success usually follows. Premierships at Birragara, Colac, Lara over a storied coaching career, and wouldn't it be great to add another chapter to that story if you could get a premiership at the Thompson Footy Club? They've been thereabouts in the recent years, of course, premiers in 2018, beaten grand finalists in 2019, but 2021 just fell slightly off their lofty perch and finished with a 6-6 win-loss record. Paul Lynch is the man to guide the fortunes of the men in purple going forward and has been good enough to join us on the Season Countdown. Lynchy, great to be talking to
you. You too, Ging. Great to be here.
Now, you're back into coaching. You've had a bit of a break after your stint at Ocean Grove. The temptation to get back into the fire, what was the lure?
I suppose, so I've heard that question a lot. I suppose once a coach, always a coach. And I love the Saturday stuff involved with footy. Like, I was involved with St. Mary's a little bit and obviously with Leopold last year. The midweek stuff gets a little bit tedious at times, but I do love the Saturday stuff. So I look forward to coaching against their coach and trying to outmaneuver them and that sort of stuff. So that was the main thing. I just wanted to get back and, you know, have that real involvement where I've got full control and coach for Saturday. Yep.
Did Thompson reach out to you? Is that how the approach came about?
Yeah, I think Sam Scott's probably responsible for that in the long run. So obviously Chris Scott has a fair involvement at Thompson, and then I think Sam Scott was pushing the envelope a little bit to maybe go coaching again with him. So Chris rang me, and then I had a meeting with Greg McLeod on that, and it's very hard to say no to Greg McLeod.
Yes.
So we had a couple of meetings with them, and I still was undecided. And then I look back at my time at coaching Birragara, and I really enjoyed coaching district footy. It's not as much involvement as coaching GFL footy at that high level. So I thought, you know, where my life is and where my kids' lives are with their sport, I felt I could fit in GDFL footy. So I had another crack.
I've spoken to a few coaches about this, and it's getting players motivated based on what's happened over the last couple of years. How have you gone getting numbers on the track and getting people engaged again after what's been a really tough couple of seasons for a lot of people?
Yeah, it's no doubt it's been a little bit of a struggle. They were probably more engaged before Christmas when, I suppose, new coach, all that sort of stuff, and we're having really high numbers. And after Christmas, it probably was a little bit messy from probably the start of pre-season after Christmas, probably middle January to probably a month after that. And now they're probably all engaged again. But we probably only had that 25 core group that's trained every night and hasn't missed a session. And then we've got probably another 30 which roll in sort of, you know, every time we start playing each club practice matches, we get 60 players there, but it's just been hard to get to train. Whether COVID is the reason for that, I'm not 100% sure. I do hear that a lot across the board that, you know, other coaches and clubs are having trouble with getting players engaged again.
The teams you've coached, you've prided on them and what they do defensively. Is that something that you've really focused on with Thompson?
Yeah, it's been all defence. Yeah, again, same thing again. So we've just worked, you know, I like to be a side that's really hard to score against, and that's always been the way I've coached. So we've done, you know, majority of pre-season. We had a pretty big fitness component pre-Christmas because they felt that they weren't quite fit enough. And then after Christmas, just been all game sense, just working on what we're doing when we haven't got the footy.
You're going to look a lot different to what ran out in the last round of season 2021. Have you looked at any game footage from last year or taken in what, you know, the current players that have stuck around can do and that, or have you just used it off feel from pre-season?
I suppose I did have had a look at a few games, and from what I seen was that probably the thing we've worked on, they probably weren't great fitness levels, and the other thing, I didn't think they were great defensively, so we've worked on that. And as you know, as I said before, I'm a defence first coach, and I've always been that way. So same thing again, we've just worked on our defence and trying to get that right. And then, you know, I always keep preaching to players, you've been doing offence since the day you picked up your first footy. So defence is hard and it takes a lot of educating and, you know, to get that mindset right. So we think we played intra-club the other night, and the reserves umpire that umpired said he hasn't seen him tackle like that for a long time. So that's a good sign.
Yep. The support around you, what sort of coaching staff have you assembled? You've always been very direct with your views and never had massive coaching staffs around you wherever you've been, but what have you assembled around you for this tenure?
Yeah, same thing. So Paul Kinnebar will coach our reserves. He done a really good job with them last year, so he had a really good engagement from them. So he's doing that again, and he'll also help out in the seniors because he loves his footy. And Bobby McLeod, that I've always had a relationship with, both on and off the field. So he's going to help me out in the seniors. So, and then Andy Mead and Jade Nex will be my assistant coaches, so they'll run the forward line as well. So, yeah, I don't like massive numbers standing on the sideline, so me and Bobby and Kinners will run that from the sideline, and XN, that'll help do the load of the work out in the ground.
Did you reach out to Reece Holwell about a potential role?
Yeah, we did reach out to Reece. So I've left the door open for him to – he was thinking about becoming just the match day stuff, doing the runner and sort of being like an assistant coach like Luke Theodore was at Colac for me, just turned up on Saturday and helped me out. He's just started a new business, so he's working long, long hours at the moment. So the door will always be open for him, and if he wants to get involved, but you know, I understand that, you know, new business, he's working pretty much from 5 to 10 most days, so you've got to get that off the ground.
Yeah, geez, fit. I've seen him around, and he'd probably still get a kick at even age 37, 38, I reckon.
Yeah, I have no doubt he would get a kick still. He prides himself on his fitness, and I did sound him out to see if he wanted to have a kick, but he said, no, he's done and dusted.
One-pointer,
yeah.
They're out like gold. You've lost a few. Let's have a look at some of the names, and these are some very handy local football names that won't line up in the purple and gold this year. So the two Westwoods, Jared and Josh, are done. Pete Hardy's done. Andrew Hodson is done. Andrew Jarvis, for the moment, is done. Adam Wiseman, we think, is he definitely done, or do you half expect him to bob up on the Thursday before round one?
I think Wisey's done. I played a game of Super Rules with him probably 12 months ago, and he's still moving all right. He's definitely done.
And John O'Casey is going to have a kick with his brother, I think with Andrew, up in the bush. But you brought some names in, and a couple of Birragurra names in Green and Selage and come into the competition, and you expect them to have an impact straight away.
Yeah, I do. I've got enormous respect for both of them. I thought Greeny was always my fix-it man at Birragurra. Like, wherever there was a problem, I used to play him. He used to fix the problem for me. And I always thought Salajan was one of the better players in the Colican District, so he never got beat very often. So Stephen will have a slow start. He's got a bit of knee tendonitis at the moment, but he'll be about round 5, and Greeny never gets injured, so he's good to go straight away. So they'll be two good players for us.
Yep. The two Cam brothers, Jordan and Josh from Imperials. Now, I think Jordan might have been CDFL Team of the Year last year.
Yeah, he's a Thompson one-pointer. So that's, as you said, one-pointers are gold. So both my nephews played in that Colican District League and said he actually looked out of place. He played that well against both them that side. So he's been exceptional. Like, his fitness levels and his passion for football and his passion to train have been amazing. And I think he's going to have a massive impact at, you know, this level next year.
Yeah, you mentioned Jaden Exel taking an assistant coaching role. Will Jaden play forward? Because he does have the ability to fill a role down back if needed.
Yeah, we think our forward line will be where one would. We'll obviously play Exel Mead up there as well with Jacko McLeod. And then obviously with Cam Habgood coming in as well. So we've got four really good talls that are going to be hard to handle. I don't think many sides will have that, them four good tall defenders. So we think that's probably our one wood. And then we obviously got Freo buzzing around their feet. And we've got a couple of young kids that'll play as that other small forward. So we think that's going to be our strength up forward. So we've just got to make sure we give them enough supply.
I've asked about track stars of coaches, but I think you might have, in our preamble before we jumped on and hit record on this, you mentioned the Sheedy brothers that have played some underage footy at Bell Park that have just lobbed on your doorstep and have impressed you since arriving at Godfrey Street.
Yeah, they've been like, they rang me up out of the blue and just said they wanted to get back involved in football. They both come from Bell Park, and they had pretty good success rate at underage footy, I think. So they haven't actually missed a session, or Brenton, Media, and XC ran these Saturday morning sessions as well, and actually haven't missed one of them. So they've been really good and look good in our match sim and look good in all our game sense stuff. So They both carry 3 points, which is awkward, as you know, but, you know, they'll feature heavily in our senior team this year.
Yeah. How are you going? I know you've lost a few that were carrying points, and I look at the likes of Andrew Jarvis and Pete Hardy from when they came across from Ocean Grove would have been carrying at least 3 points, and, you know, I suppose shedding guys like that, but adding, your net return's not going to be too bad.
Yeah, we'll be all right. We'll be around that 43, I reckon, with a perfect score. But you never have that perfect side, do you? So with injuries and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, looking at my best side, just mucking around with it last night, we looked at about, I reckon we're about 43, 42. So obviously with Stephen having a late start, you know, everyone's available round one can play. So we'll be all right. I think, you know, most clubs I've been involved with, we usually recruit to that 44. 45, and that gives you that bit of play if you do get injuries, but it's just about managing. It can be hard work at times, but the points are there for a reason, and I think they're doing their job at times.
You've coached Brent McLeod before. How's your tracking going into season 2022?
Yeah, Brent's the same. Brent wouldn't have missed a session either, so he's a real driven Thompson boy. He wants to win a premiership at Thompson, and he's the same, hasn't missed a session as well. So, you know, I think a fit Brent McLeod is the best player in the comp. So he's doing everything in his power to get back to that fitness level he was, obviously, before he played Thompson, when he played at Apollo Bay. So he's working his butt off. So I think he'll be able to really pack this shoe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the competition's better for Brent McLeod when he's up and about, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. He's like, I've always said, he's an offensive beast. Like, he kicks the ball as good as anyone I've played with. And, you know, he's smart around the footy. And a few times I watched him when I went down and watched Apollo Bay. Like, he was just an absolute class above the competition, and obviously at Ocean Grove as well. So he's a great player. We all know that. So we just got to get him fit and back to that standard he was when he was coaching Apollo Bay. Because I think last year he's probably a little bit overweight, and he's the first to admit that. But I still think he had an impact last year, but probably not to what it was to his standards.
Yep. Outside of Steve Saligan, anybody else that will struggle to be right for round one?
No, I think that's it. I think we've had a few blokes that have had, you know, cricket with delayed training stuff, but, you know, like blokes like Freeman and all that, but they'll be there for round one, no worries at all.
Yep. You're going to have a unique record, I reckon. I don't think there's many that have coached in every league in the region, including which includes the Colac League. You're seeing a lot of grounds over your journey.
Yeah, I have, I suppose. I suppose we were just talking before. I'm getting old now, so I suppose my CV is starting to stack up in terms of coaching. So it would have been nice to win a premiership in the Ballerine, and then I had one more to go. But, you know, as you know, they're extremely hard to win. Obviously, Inverleigh are the side to beat, and, you know, what's the name? Donna is doing a great job out there. So, you know, we're definitely starting behind the eight ball against them. So everyone, I think, has got some ground to make up. So we're just going to make sure that we give ourselves a chance and beat it at the pointy end of the season.
You've been coaching for 20 years. How much have you had to adjust your philosophy for, I suppose, the changing ways of society and, you know, the hard-ass coach, for want of a better term, of 20, 25 years ago probably doesn't stack up anymore? Have you found yourself mellowing as a coach?
Yeah, 100%. Like, Colac really enjoyed that style of coaching, and they wanted it. That's what they wanted when I first came to the club. And at times it was quite draining being that aggressive sort of coach that they were craving. But, yeah, kids have changed now. They don't like criticism like they used to. You sort of have to have that player relationship stuff. And, you know, watching Jace Tom last year firsthand, Jace has obviously got a lot to learn coaching-wise, but his player relationship stuff last year was exceptional. And I think that's the modern-day coach now, that you've got to have that real player relationship and be really engaged in their life and more focused on their positives more than their negatives now. And, you know, that's the style I'm trying to adapt to, but it's different, Kingy, as you know.
Yep. Anybody you're looking forward to going up against coaching-wise? I reckon you would have played against Butch Shaw.
Yeah, I played against Butch when he was Joey's, and he was at North Shore, I think, when I was at Colac. So, yeah, I just definitely had a bit to do with Butch, and obviously coached against Buck out at Inverleigh. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else, but yeah, I'm not really sure. But yeah, I always look
Reece Prismer would have been at Lara when you were at Colac.
Reece Prismer at Lara when I was coaching Colac. So I always like to coach against the good sides. Like, that's the most rewarding stuff, winning games that are hard to win.
Yep. The mob over the roundabout, East Geelong too. I think Ben Bosley would have crossed paths with you at some stage too.
He might have been at South Barwon. I do know Ben through obviously the Bury connection and all that sort of stuff. So they look to be improving a little bit as well. So they're going to be hard to beat as well. And I think from memory, that's Thompson's arch rival, I think, East Geelong. So they always talk about that's a big game when you play them. So
yeah, absolutely. Bellpost Hill, round one's a nice little challenge too.
Yeah, they've probably got as good a record in country footy as anyone, Bellpost Hill. And, you know, they're going to be really hard to beat. So we've made a real focus. I've watched a fair bit of vision on how they play. And we've already trained at the moment to play Bellpost Hill. So we've been working hard on that.
Yep. Aniki, Belmont Lions and Winchelsea is the month of April. So three teams that finish below you. So no games are given in footy, no matter how the opposition are tracking, but you must look at that first month and go, there's a real chance to lay a platform for 2022.
Yeah, we have talked about that and we understand that we don't know a lot about the other four and how they've improved. So we have thought that if we can get over Bellpost Hill, we can really set our season up. So, but no disrespect to the other three or four, you know, they've improved and recruited as well. And, you know, 2 long years of COVID, a lot can happen in them 2 years. So we're not taking any game lightly, but we think if we can really set ourselves and get a win against Bellpost Hill, potentially it can set our season up.
Absolutely. Lynchy, you've been a lot around footy for a heck of a long time and you've seen the highs and lows. Obviously, Colac and Lara to senior premierships and you had a stint at Port Arlington and we know they're still battling and it's been a tough 30 years or so for them. Promotion, relegation or divisions, your view? I don't reckon your view's ever really been canvassed on this properly over the journey.
Yeah, I thought you might ask me this question. Actually, I got a door in, foot in both doors with this. Like, I think it needs to happen. Looking at all three leagues over the last probably as long as I can remember, 10 years, the top five is nearly set already. And that's not great for football. Like, I reckon the GFL, especially the last probably 10 years, has almost been a two-tiered competition. Like, it's the same six playoff every year. Ballerine hasn't been a lot different, and the GFL has probably been a little bit more flexibility. But in saying that, I've got enormous respect for history of North Shore, history of Lara, these sort of sides that have been at the bottom for a while. I think we've got to give them every chance to fight back, to get back into that thing. And I think, you know, I would have thought, you know, Grovedale probably been in that same boat, but I think Warrilili and Armstrong Creek's really helped them with all that big people out there, 30-year-olds having kids, more kids in the area. So, you know, I've got a foot in each door. I don't like seeing that the same five or six compete for finals every year, which is happening in all leagues and including the Colac District as well. So, if we can somehow, you know, structure it a bit different to get these bottom sides back up and compete, you know, I'd love to see it stay the same way. But in saying that, you know, sides like Torquay, you know, the junior development, the number of people they got to choose from, you know, the netball strong, like if everyone looks at that at Torquay and says 100% they should be in the GFL, but Torquay have got to want to do it as well. So I heard Dom speak the other day and saying they do. So, but, you know, for Torquay to go in, someone's got to come out at their expense. So, and, you know, I think Ocean Grove as well, like, you know, what Pete Davey's doing down there, he's doing a really good job. And, you know, population, I'm not sure what Ocean Grove is, but, you know, I'll be nudging 30,000 soon. So, you know, junior-wise, numbers-wise, again, you think in time they're going to find, you know, 20 very good GFL footballers. So, I just don't know the answer to that right now, that, you know, where we should go with it, but it's definitely something we need to look at.
Talking about Lara, 20-year premiership reunion this year, have you been able to negotiate somehow that it works, that you can be there for Lara on that day?
I did say I still catch up with the Lara boys a lot, and I did say that to them, just remember that I'm coaching, so we need to work around that it's either Saturday night or a Friday night, but I think they are talking about doing something on the Friday night and then maybe a little function during the day and then again something on the Saturday night. So
Queen's birthday weekend. I don't know where Lara is Queen's birthday weekend, but I suspect that would probably be an option if they're a home game, because you guys have got that weekend off.
Yeah, it's we're talking about the other day. It's amazing how quick that time's gone. I always say to young footballers, like, it goes from, you know, that feels like 5 years ago and that's 20 years ago. So your football career doesn't last very long, so you've got to make the most of it. But, you know, like I said, I'd love to see Lara get back up to the top, because One of the most enjoyable years of my life, coaching Lara. So much fun.
How's the junior program tracking at Thompson? It's been an issue for a little while in terms of getting numbers and getting teams on the park. How's it looking going into 2022?
We'll definitely have an under 16 side. So that's the number one thing. But we have spoke about it at length that we need to get into the schools a little bit more in the area and start to get some more kids involved with the club, because they've done a good job to be so, you know, not so powerful, but around that pointy end for so long, because, you know, they haven't got a great junior structure there. And I've always said you need good kids to be successful. You know, you just have to look at the St. Mary's and Joey's and these sort of sides. They're always going to be strong, so they've got great kids programs. But we are working on it. And, you know, we just actually spoke this morning about, you know, starting to get into these schools and getting kids around Thompson playing footy.
Absolutely. Lynchy, great to see you back coaching. It's always great fun dealing with you, always forthright with your views, as you have been in this conversation. We really look forward to talking to you throughout season 2022 and wish you the best of luck.
All right, thanks, Kenny.
You've been listening to K-Rock Football's Season Countdown. Keep an eye on krockfootball.com.au for new episodes in the lead up to the 2022 local football season.